Okay. So what were we talking about last week?
We were talking about the existence of absolute morality.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And what was your claim?
My claim was to disprove your claim.
And
your
claim which was, is my claim?
If I got it right, your claim was that absolute morality exists.
Right, which means what? That there are some things that are right. No, that some things are right.
You explain, okay.
And some things are wrong. Like, an example would be, it is always wrong to torture babies for fun. That is immoral at all times, for all people, in all places. So, my claim is that has nothing to do with your opinion or your opinion or your opinion. It is categorically evil, and that its evilness stands outside of human opinion. It is a violation of a very basic moral principle that exists without whether I agree with that principle or not.
Okay? Could you sound the principle?
The principle is that it is, that the specific principle in that example is that it is wrong to inflict pain or take the life of innocent people. And particularly, a baby is an innocent person who has done nothing to deserve the kind of evil torture and the pain that somebody might inflict on that child for their personal pleasure. Okay? So that's my example. There's many, many examples of absolute morality, but your counterclaim is, please go ahead.
Okay, my counterclaim is that it is possible to imagine a society in which it is accepted by anyone to torture a baby for fun. That's an imaginable society because you gave an imaginable example.
No, actually it's a real example. And when people do these things in the rest of the world, we take them and we either put them in prison if we catch them, or we execute them in America. No,
right.
So it is really a real problem where people take innocent children and sexually assault them and then kill them for fun. And they really do it. So it's a real example, and we think that's morally wrong. And my contention is that to do that kind of thing is wrong for all people at all times in all places. Okay?
Yeah,
you're such a clarifying. So go ahead.
So, yeah. If we take a human and change his environment, maybe, and his physical nature. If we take that, if we make such a mental experiment, we take from a mother the will to protect her children. Could that be possible?
No, this is your example. Please go on.
So
yeah.
We take that. We take compassion from people, and we have a society where it is possible to torture a baby
for fun.
But
okay.
But if
and you're saying, and your claim is that because, if I understand you right, that the society that exists, and because that society, by the way, no such society has ever existed in the history of mankind, but for the sake of the example, you would then say that because a majority of people in that society think that it's morally correct to torture babies for fun, it is therefore morally correct. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that if we take society in which it is accepted and maybe it is and a necessity of sort.
A necessity.
A necessity, because
to torture babies for fun is a necessity.
Because we take not humans like us, but humans that that have special qualities, like mothers not protecting their children and children not feeling the pain. You got me on that.
Yeah, it sounds like this is a contrived example that doesn't match the real world is the problem.
Because
you know, I give you a real world example of innocent children who, when they are attacked by criminals and tortured, it hurts them, and their parents are really upset, reasonably, and the society thinks it's, whether the society thinks it or not, but it doesn't matter what the society thinks, it is objectively evil to kill innocent children. And now you give me some kind of species of people that don't exist on this planet, you know, so I don't see how your example works in the real world.
Because
can you give me a real world example?
No. Let me defend my example as I gave it to you.
Okay.
You say about absolute, and absolute means every possibility.
In the real world, every possibility, right.
Real world may
in the real world.
May mutate for well.
Yeah, we haven't mutated now in 8,000 years. In the real world, we're still people, and we're still talking about people who think that at all times, all places, throughout history, all recorded history, you know, it's been morally wrong to take innocent life, and particularly when it's her child or this man's child. And when you take his child, in every culture, throughout history, when you attack his child, he's going to come after you. You know, that's the real world. In the real world, when our children are, you know, we have instances, real world instances of parents. Do we need to leave, Vladimir?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. We'll continue this outside. Any of you want to join us, we're going to be out here. So, I do appreciate you working on this. It really is very interesting. Yeah, so, and it's not an easy issue. You know? So. What do we? Okay.
So, in my view, absolute means embracing every possibility. In your view, absolute is something constrained with our current conditions.
Yeah, the real world.
The real world conditions.
Yeah.
And if, well, Russ doesn't accept the view when if something cannot be cannot exist in the real world, then it's not a
reality. Because it's in an unreal world. It's not a valid example because there is no real application, because this universe that we've constructed does not exist. It's an imaginary universe. And so rules in imaginary universes cannot be applied in the real world.
So
that's my thesis anyway. Do you think that's unreasonable?
I wouldn't argue with the reasonability of that of your thesis, because we would roll away from the mainstream of the discussion.
Okay,
I agree that within these constraints, your claim is true, is correct.
Okay, and you mean objectively correct, right? Not true just for me, but objectively true for all people, all time, all places, for everyone.
For everyone. For the majority. I won't say that for everyone. What,
okay,
for the,
well, I'll let it go for now. I mean, it's another conversation. And we don't
all right, yeah.
Okay.
But still, I thought you would, to support your thesis, I thought you would involve some holistic argument, like it is from God that we receive the scripture, and the scripture is the absolute moral
law. No, I'm talking a little more basic than that. You know, just like there are basic truths. I'm not trying to make a claim at this point where they come from, although I could go there eventually. It's another conversation. You know, but just that they exist, that something exists outside of my opinion that is right and wrong. And I think it's a very modest claim. You know, that modest some modest, a modest claim.
What's a modest?
Modest, it means, modest, what does it mean in Russian? Yeah. It's just that some things are morally right and some things are morally wrong. And it doesn't depend on my opinion or your opinion or society's opinion. It's just right or wrong.
It depends not on the opinion, but on the nature of the
universe as we exist. Not even humankind. You know, that these are laws of what used to be called laws of nature. You know, natural law.
And I
don't mean like the scientific. I'm not talking like the second law of thermodynamics or gravity. I'm talking natural law as it was classically understood, you know, in the 19th, 18th century, when they would talk about these principles of right and wrong. You know, that there's some things that are just right, some things that are just wrong. You know, it's wrong for me to, as an example, see some girl and be sexually attracted to her and jump on her. You know, that's just wrong. That's called rape. And it's wrong for all people in all places at all times. There's never a situation where that's right. It's immoral at all times, in all places, for all people. You know, rape is always wrong, and that's why laws prohibiting rape and punishing rapists are morally correct laws. I would say I would agree with that law. I don't have a problem with that law, and I think that people, you ladies, who go home at night should be safe, and that people who try to hurt you need to be in prison, you know, punished and removed from society so they don't do it to somebody else. So it's for the interest in the interest of protecting, like it's not just her who gets attacked. It's that this guy, if we don't do something about him, he may get you, and when he's done with you, he may find her. So I have a moral obligation, you know, to stop him from doing these evil things. So that would be a good and right and moral law. And it's not my opinion. It's not mankind's opinion. It's just right to stop people. I mean, rape is always wrong, period. And it doesn't matter what the law says. If we pass a law that says, okay, guys, rape all the gals you want. Party. Woohoo! This is great. Just because they pass a law like that does not make it morally right. It's still immoral. It's still wrong. And pretty soon, you know, when you're my daughter and this guy over here gets you, I'm going to be outraged, and it's not going to be because, you know, I'm not going to care that the law said it was okay that he did that to me. And I'm going to be looking for him to get him if I can. You know, and what happens when you have a society with immoral laws, you know what happens? You end up with civil wars, or you end up with great unrest. You know, you end up with people who are going to object to that, and they're finally going to say, you know what, if the government doesn't protect me, I'll do it myself, or I'll pay somebody to do it. Because if I can't get protection from my government, and my government becomes my enemy, eventually, you know, there's going to be a bunch of people whose daughters got hurt and wives got hurt, and they're going to get together, these guys and me, and we're going to form a little army, you know, and we're going to start doing business ourselves. And that's the real world. That's the real world. Because we all recognize when it's our child, when it's my daughter, when it's my wife who's assaulted, that I'm not going to let that happen. And I don't care if it's legal. You know?
Okay. So I haven't disproved your claim, but still I have some questions to clarify. Yeah. So, morality, what is it in your understanding?
My morality?
Yeah. No, not your morality.
But what is morality? Morality is that which is right and proper and true, and immorality is that which is wrong and improper and harmful to people. That which will hurt and destroy and ruin your life is immoral, and ruin the lives of other people, that's immoral. Things that take away your freedoms, your property, and your freedom, property, and one other thing, what is it? Liberty. That's right. The same thing, liberty and freedom. I don't forget what the third one is.
So if someone takes your property off, then it sounds that you count it as an immoral action, right? If someone
not in all cases, no. I would say that there are reasonable, like not all, like for instance, all law is based on morality. You know, what is moral? Why is it moral? You know, the interesting thing about that is, if I might chase the rabbit for a minute, it's an idiom meaning diverge just a little. There's a saying in America, and you'll hear it when you go, that is, you can't legislate morality. Well, guess what? All law is legislated morality. The only issue is, whose morality are we legislating?
That's right.
Because all law does something. It limits your freedom. It takes some of your property, if it's taxes. You know, it takes something that belongs to you and applies it for a public purpose. Now, sometimes that could be a moral thing to do. That's morally correct. You know, for instance, you know, we need to provide for the common defense, so we have a police force. Now, if they cannot violate moral principles either and still be legitimate. But if they are not violating moral principles, and we have laws that don't violate moral, these absolute moral principles. By the way, whenever you talk about, I don't like that law because that's wrong, because when you say that about a law, what are you doing? You're saying that law is immoral. It's not fair. It's not just. It's wrong. And what is it when you claim, as we all do, you know, I'm sure you do too, we all look at certain laws and we say, that is absolutely wrong. That should be repealed. It should be changed. Or, on the other hand, we might say, there ought to be a law about this situation. You know, people should not be allowed to, for instance, attack you on the metro. All right? You shouldn't have to be afraid of being attacked on the metro, right?
You're just in public places.
Or to smoke in public. Well, we could say to smoke in public places. Whatever it is. But that is a law.
Only a moral question. And now it's going to be a law.
Well, it is still a moral question whether it's a become before and after. Because what does it do? It restricts somebody's freedom to smoke wherever and whenever they want. And when I take away your freedom to smoke, you know, I may have a legitimate reason to do that, and that is I'm going to protect the lives and freedom of other innocent people. Okay? And you can make an argument like that. You know, and I'm not here to argue, you know, the smoking laws per se, but I'm just saying all law. If you say to yourself, that's not fair, that's not right, and you're talking about either a law or the behavior of your boss at work. I'm sorry, I shouldn't point at you, you're just, no. But, you know, your boss says, you know what? I know that I said that I'm going to pay you $1,000 a month, right? Or $2,000 a month. But you know what? We're having a kind of a tough time right now, and I'm going to pay you $1,500, or I'm going to pay you $800 or something, and you leave with your $800, right? And you say, something is not right about this. Something is wrong. When you say that's wrong, you're appealing to a moral principle. And the moral principle is what? Can you guess? What is the moral principle that you're appealing to? When you say it's wrong for your boss to keep money that he promised to you, what is the moral principle?
Keeping your promises.
Ah, and we think is, and you think that is what? Right to do. That he owes you the money. Is that a matter of opinion? Is that a matter of, in other words, is it, if it's only a matter of opinion, then you have nothing to complain about. Because in his opinion, your money, I know he said that he was supposed to pay you.
That's a matter of agreement.
Ah, it's an agreement, and it's wrong to do what?
It's wrong to break the agreement.
Why?
Because it's moral, there is a general moral.
What if there was no general moral, let's say, agreement by society that's
then
wrong?
The society would exist in some other form where
right.
people won't agree
so
with each other.
So if they, in that society, if they kept your money, even though there was an agreement, it would be okay.
Well, I guess
you wouldn't have any complaint that he had promised to you
that's right,
to
that's
keep
right.
your money, and then you'd be happy that he broke your promise.
That's true.
He broke his promise.
That's society. Right. That imaginable sure. society that cannot exist.
It cannot exist.
It cannot exist.
You're saying it doesn't exist and it cannot exist. Why is that?
Well, no. Well, it can exist if we take that general
has ever such
moral
a
law away.
Has ever such a society existed?
Maybe if...
What was that society?
If it was some...
Specifically.
Feudal...
No. Give me an example of an actual society.
Actual society where... people break agreements and...
And it's okay and
it's
okay. Nobody is offended. Here's the answer. Let me simplify it. There's never been a society like that. You know, if in a feudal society, if one prince made a promise to another prince, and that prince broke it, there was going to be a war. You know? You're going to say, I'm not going to take your property. Okay? Here's your kingdom. Here's my kingdom. And one prince or one feudal king, city, state, gets up one day and says, you know what? I like your property. I think I should own that. You know what happens? Prince number one says, that's wrong. You broke your promise. And furthermore, not only did you break your promise, but that's my land. And you're not taking it because it's morally wrong for you to take my property.
Morally, it was always a part of governance. And we should think about it.